I'm Jason Wang. I'm the Senior Director of Research, Evaluation, and Analysis at the Primary Care Information Project of New York City Department of Health. I joined PCIP 5 years ago. Before that, I was Director of Data Analysis and Assistant Professor at Montana School of Medicine. Currently, I'm also an adjunct associate professor at Sony Wood Westbury. So, for those of you who didn't know me, now you do. Today, I'm going to talk about a game series model. Title is Change or Wait. A game series explanation of strategies for vendors and the providers for the EHR incentive programs in 2015. My team this time have like altogether 9 presentations. You know, going from like a provider surveys to big data to quality measure improvement to happy civilians, things like that. But this one is a little weird. Actually, this is the first time I really try to get into the game series model. I learned game series like 20 some years ago. But I think this might be a good fit. We'll talk about mostly about the theoretical model here. No relationship to disclose now. Let me quickly introduce PCIP and talk a little bit about the meaningful use and introduce the game series. And then we get into the current study, show some examples, and get into discussion. PCIP is a bureau of New York City Department of Health, and it's also a local rec center serving the local small practice specialty for meaningful use and many things else. So currently we have like almost 17,000 providers receiving help from us in terms of like getting EHR, do all kinds of meaningful use activities, improve their quality of care, and things like that. Especially we focus on the underserved areas through the health IT. That's one of the mission here. So this map should us showed the practice, you know, affiliated with us in New York City. This is just one example, like one kind of activities we do with our providers is the monthly dashboard. You know, we show them how good they are with the quality measures, with meaningful user activities and things like that, so that they can improve and get to kind of a comparison with the other people also. And help their own need. So, we do many other things, right? Because my team, for example, every year we publish 10 to 15 papers. If you Google Jason Wang PCIP, you're going to find me in ResearchGate. Many of the papers there talk all kinds of things: the trend of quality measures, the factors related to each. Like a program, incentive program. For example, we have a JAMA paper talking about financial incentive on quality measure improvement. You know, it's very cited many times. And last year, I have another paper talking about PCMH, meaningful use, e-heart, all kind of incentive put together. You know, this impact, combined impact on quality measure improvement on HSR, things like that. But today. We focus a little bit on meaningful use. Many of the people here, I'm sure you know, that meaningful use have like 3 stages, right? First you need to use the electronic health record, and then you need to make it meaningful, right? So stage 1 is basically for sharing of data. Stage 2, you get into a clinical process, right? And stage 3 is getting like improved outcome. So it can be, right now most activities are surround like stage 1 and 2. Of course, you know, Medicaid, Medicare, you have for providers, you might have a different need, and you might try to join different programs, and the ONC, CMS, they have different kind of incentives, right? So, for example, for Medicare, the maximum incentive, in 5 years, can be up to like $45 a day, right? For Medicaid, maximum might be like $63,000-$64,000 over like a 6-year span. Different criteria for Medicaid, for example, you don't necessarily have to have continuous usage in the program participation, but Medicare you do need to be continuous there. Otherwise, you might face certain kind of incentive adjustment, a payoff, payment adjustment, right? So currently, 2014, of course, all kind of small requirement, whatever. I don't necessarily have to get into that. As of April 2015, nationwide, 54% physicians demonstrated using a meaningful use. Right. So that, and we use our own data. Of course, the data we got from all over. Currently, the data is, I left my team run it like 3 days before I came over here. So that's the most current data. And nationwide, for Medicare, you have like 185,000 providers there, unique providers. In 2014, about 7.8% of them changed the vendor, right? For PCIP providers of Medicare patient providers, 61%. For New York State Medicaid meaningful use, of all those like 10,000 providers, about 4.3% changed the vendors in New York State, 5.4% in the PCIP providers. Among PCIP providers. Of course, the reason for the change in the vendor might be, of course, that the requirement for, that's the key actually, right? So CMS has a requirement to upgrade your system for the vendors to the 2014 certification criteria, right? If you don't, you have the old version 2011, the providers using your system might face certain kind of payment adjustment. So that can be one reason that the providers switch their vendor. Of course, there could be many other reasons. For example, if the provider is a big a small practice, but it's acquired by another big one, they have to switch to the big one's vendor, right? So nationwide, of all the 670 providers, about 42% of them using this 2014 certification. That means they upgraded their system. 58% didn't. Of course, we are going to get into the data to look at the size of the vendor and things like that, how many providers use them. I bet many of the small providers not necessarily upgraded, but the big ones, they surely have a bigger, things to consider, right? Let's talk a little bit about game theory. The game theory is about it's the theory of strategy, right? So you have like two or more players, right? You want to win, right? You have rational strategies, right? Irrational strategy is not a consideration here, right? And you have outcomes, the payoffs, and then you have this so-called equilibrium, right? So, of course, players' preference, everything is very important. This is the basic concept there. Right? The basic game is the so-called zero-sum game, right? My lose is your win, is your gain, or things like that. The total sum of the benefit, the payoff is zero. So if you are positive, I'm negative, things like that. You have like strategies to find this saddle point, and you might use mixed strategies. And this is not a game we are talking about here, right? But chess or something, that's something as a zero-sum game. Non-zero-sum, non-cooperative game. Nash equilibrium, right? The situation for this, right? You have not necessarily your gain is my loss, right? But we do have like two or more players here, typically two players, right? So national curriculum, which is each player is the strategy is the optimal for this player, given the strategies for others. If you cross all the cross out all the dominant strategies, you leave with national equilibrium. National equilibrium may not be the best outcome we might get into that. All Pareto optimum, right? So, as an economist, you know, Pareto optimum is very important. I don't know people here care much about that, but if you want, we can get into that. You know, so that could be missed strategy. But anyway, the most famous game is this thing called Prisoner's Dilemma. I don't know how many people know of this game. Raise your hand. Oh, wow. Okay, so 40%, 43% of people here. I got the accurate number. Heard about the Prisoner's Dilemma. Basically, the story here is two robbers, you know, they did something, right, bad, robbed a bank, whatever, and they were caught by the cop. And the cop have no strong evidence to convict them, right? So they separate them and talk to them and give them an offer a strategy to them, right? Basically saying like, hey, if both of you keep silent, right, I have no, well, everybody know that, I don't have enough evidence to convict you, but I put you in jail for 1 year. Right? If your partner keeps silent, but you confess, you're free. Your partner got 15 years, right? Vice versa. But if both of you confess, right, you both get 5 years. Turn out from this, you know, if you look at this, it seems like a silent is the best strategy, right? You know, each of us get 1 year, and you know, after that we go back home free. But if you look at the prisoner A, his dominant strategy is confess, right? If you know, his payoff pair is 0.5, compared with 1.15, right? No matter what the prisoner B's strategy is, my strategy as a prisoner A is to confess. Same thing for prisoner B, right? He is going to choose to confess. By the end, of course, you know, each of them end up in the jail for 5 years. This is the Nash equilibrium. That's the best strategy for each of them. They're going to stuck there, right? So, of course, this is the for this so-called normal strategic form game, but you know, one-time shot. But that's the situation. So that's the dilemma, right? So you end up with the result not necessarily the best for all of you. There's another kind of a game form is so-called extensive form, right? It's a game tree thing. You know, if you make a decision, I then based on your decision, I'm going to make the decision. But you will know if you make a decision, I made a decision, what's my choice going to be, right? So it's kind of a perfect information. And then everybody actually going to end up the same thing, you know, going to be 5-5 by the end, right? In this situation. So that's the dilemma, okay, right? So, you know, you end up with the strategy become confident for each of the people there. And it's not the best solution. That leads us to the current study, right? The background again, you know, the vendors supposed to upgrade their system, EHR system, in 2014, according to the new criteria there. I'm not going to get into the details of the requirement, but you know, basically, you know, what kind of core element change and things like that. But if you don't upgrade, you know, your provider's going to face certain kinds of penalties, right? Payment adjustment, and they might switch also. That's a loss for you, right? You know, the opportunity cost. You know, your providers leave you, and you're going to lose a lot of, you know, fees from your providers. So you might get into all the kind of details of the calculation. So all kind of situations there, depending on how many years you've been using EHR, how many patients in the Medicare or Medicaid program for you, and how big is your practice, right? And what's the cost of switching a vendor and things like that. So, but basically the concept there is, you know, in this game, right, you have two players, right? One is the vendors, right? The vendor, if they upgrade their system, the cost tied to it, right? If they don't, they might lose the customers. That's another, you know, potential cost, right? For the player two, the providers, you know, they also face the same thing. You know, if they switch, that's a big fee, you know, to switch, right? But if you stay, you face certain kind of penalty there. So I just wanted to throw this idea. So for each of them, they have these two strategies, right? Either you wait or you change, right? So W or C. Of course, assuming both players, well, the players can be one vendor, one provider, or can be a group of them, right? So, you know, just talking in theory about this. Many, many different kind of situations there. For example, we calculate one situation there is, well, if you depend on the class of the year of your providers, you might face this kind of adjustment, right? And if you switch, you might tie a certain kind of cost. But, you know, if you're a single provider practice, yeah, might be. If you, like, have 10 providers, the cost per each provider might change, right? So, you know, just to see that all kind of situation there, to put in the strategic form game, you have players here, and you have the strategy there, you have all kinds of different payoff pairs. So I just show some examples with random numbers there. You know, this is one situation, right? The dominant strategy for the vendor is to change. If you look at their payoff, like 100, 110 versus 200, 210, right? Of course, you go with the change. For the provider, the best strategy is to wait, right? So this situation might be optimal, right? So as a policymaker, whatever, I want the vendor to upgrade their system. I don't want the providers to change. Right. A lot of social cost for associated with the society, whatever. So lost resources. You know, that idea worked. Right? But anyway, in this situation, necessary equipment and optimal result go together. Another situation: the vendor chose to wait, and the provider chose to wait. It might be a lot of case. You know, for small vendor and the small provider, they might say, hey, you know, I just wait. Maybe you give me a hardship exemption or something. You know, I'm sure people hear about those things for Medicare providers, right? It's not the case for Medicaid providers, but, you know. If a lot of people just wait like me, CMS might decide to change their idea, not to put much of the, you know, penalties on us. But anyway, that's one situation based on data like this. Then situation three might be, of course, it's a vendor to wait and providers change. The provider change associated with the cost, and the vendors, you know, also tied with the loss of the customers, right? So this time, national equilibrium and the optimal result are not the same. And then we go on, we have this change situation, a little weird, but, you know, might be happening, right? And then you have the situation that you don't have a national equilibrium, right? So you don't have the dominant strategy. You might use a mixed strategy. That's something, you know. We use all kinds of data. We are going to kind of calculate how many providers in this kind of situation. Other possibilities, of course, if you have this extensive form game, that means sequential game. One player move first, the second follow, and keep going, or something like that. Then you lead to this kind of repeated game. Right? For the repeated game, you might have like two scenarios. One is you keep going, right? Two is that the limited horizon. And that time, you know, collusion might not be optimal. I can get that if needed, right? But then you use the so-called backward induction to get into the sub-game perfect solution. And then, of course, you have this cooperative game, right? So you might need a facilitator or somebody, or local government, you know, their own CMS to help with the coordinating the actions. Of course, for policymakers, they might, you know, encourage participation, right? They want providers to participate in meaningful use, and they want vendors to upgrade their system, right? So again, you know, that strategy is the best for the society, for the policymakers' point of view. And, you know, what if policymakers change the payment adjustment and things like that, right? So that's going to change the payoff situation. We are going to get into details and then see, hey, what kind of situation the policymaker can do something, but not today. Providers have short-term low cost and long-term benefit. Different situations that we may need to use the data to validate. All kind of situations that I want to mention. Several notable game series. The first is Robert Allman. He was my game series professor 20-some years ago. I was one of the two students survived his class. He only taught in America for that year. And of course, he later he won Nobel Prize 2004. Go for him. Another professor is Professor Martens, very good guy, and passed away 3 years ago. He's another professor of 20-some years ago when I studied game series. I was told he might he's highly qualified to be to win the Nobel Prize. And John Nash, beautiful man, we lost him this year, a big loss. But we use his Nash equipment all the time. Right? This is me. Feel free to contact me if you have further questions, or later we can talk more. And my co-author, Hannah. Thank you so much. Next one. Thank you.